Hey, NAIA football fans, Corey Thorpe here with another edition of the NAIAF Ball Podcast, powered by AdCraft USA, your custom apparel, merch, and uniform experts. Our friends at AdCraft have been with us for many years now. They've run web stores for us multiple times. These guys are NAIA fans and family who are experts in the apparel and merchandise world. AdCraft allows you to take the hassle out of ordering. Let their knowledgeable design and customer service staff handle everything from hosting the store online, shipping the product, and helping your customers so you can get back to the game. Find them online at AdCraftUSA.com. All right, NAIA football fans, we're back with another edition of the NAIAF Ball Podcast, powered by AdCraft Custom Apparel and Merch, the best in the business since 1974. 50 years in the business. Just check them out. They're really good folks. Making really good products at a really good price. Been supporting us for years now. They are definitely the best. But you don't come to hear me rant about that. We have finally made it. We have gotten past the first round and the second round and the quarters and semis. And now we have finally made it to the first of the two combatants in the national championship game. Got head coach Matt McCarty. Coach, how are you doing this evening?
Yeah, I'm doing great. Middle of spring football right now, which is always a great experience, and it's fun to be back out in the field with the guys, and it's always great to be back talking football with you.
Absolutely. It was, I mean, another great season for Northwestern, a streak-snapping season, if you will, for Northwestern. You know, you don't get to hoist the red banner this year, but you get back to it. You're making it. Heck, you've made the national championship, what, two out of the last 3 years? Three out of the last 4 years? I can't math right tonight.
Yeah, three of the last 4 years. And, it was an awesome season. I mean, it's, you know, obviously you would have loved to have won that final game, but we ran into a really good team that last week, and we battled. We gave everything we got, and we just came up short. And it was an awesome season, though. You know, I think as you look back and you reflect on it, how it ended, you know, you can't let that really kind of tarnish what you accomplished throughout the season. We were able to knock off Drake, which was an awesome win. And then, yeah, go undefeated through our conference play, which was not easy to do, and get our way back to a championship. And just proud of our guys and how they traversed that season with the expectations coming off of winning a championship. It's a different feeling.
Yeah, let's take a look at that Drake game. You're down 21-13. You find a way. It's a 38-yard touchdown catch by Connor McQuillan with 43 seconds left to send it to overtime. Actually, sorry. And then you get the two-point conversion to tie it up to go to overtime. You go 90 yards in just under 2 minutes. Man, y'all had to be cooking with gas that last drive.
It was special. I mean, I think about it, I guess I got chills thinking back to it. And that's really when I knew we had something special with this group. It was a battle. You know, Drake ended up being a conference champ and an FCS playoff team, and we're on the road, and to go 90 yards in the last couple minutes to tie the game. Our best players made some huge plays. You know, there was a fourth down and six that we picked up on that drive where I think we completed it to Mike at about for 3 yards, and he fought for the last 3 yards and got us a first down. And then we hit Connor for a touchdown, and Mike caught the two-point conversion. And, you know, just watching how those guys willed themselves to win that football game was pretty special. Our defense had some huge stops, and that was a fun game. It was an awesome atmosphere playing in Des Moines. Our fans were phenomenal. And when you see your fans storm the field at an away game, that's a pretty cool experience.
No, that is super, super cool. We move on. You get into a little bit of the meat of your GPAC schedule, and then you get to late October where it's somebody's great idea to put Dort and Morningside back-to-back. And then, as if that wasn't enough, they go and do it again this year. So, I mean, you know, I I know there's only so many ways you can draw up a schedule, but dude, really?
It's those are a couple of physical weeks of football, and it's a good test. And yeah, you know, you don't really get much recovery between the two, but those are good tests. You know, physically, they're good tests. Mentally, the one thing you know is you have your guys' attention. So this year again, they're both late in the year, late October, and they'll be big games like they always are.
Yeah, and that Dort game, it's you're up 17-0. You extend the lead out to 35-14. That one's not really terribly much in question there. The Morningside game, though, you get down 13-0 early mid second quarter. Is there a little bit of oh no, not again? Is there a little bit of chatting with your guys going, no, we're not quitting on this?
Yeah, you know, it's our guys don't get flustered, and it's, you know, some of the mental training that we do with our guys. You know, we talk a lot about dealing with adversity and handling adversity, and really not really concerning ourselves with what's going on in the game, and just keep playing present. And I think some of that stuff helps us in situations like that. And they just kept plugging away, and we were able to really make some good adjustments. The game was played in an absolute blizzard, which was interesting. You know, you could barely see the other sideline. You didn't really know where you were on the field. It was the first time in my life I'd ever been a part of anything like that. So that was made it just a little bit more interesting of a game. But it was our guys just battled. You know, we kept playing, kept fighting, and made some big plays when we needed to. And if you look back over the last handful of years and in our games versus Morningside, it typically has seemed like one team has jumped out to an early lead and the other team has found a way to win the game. And, you know, I'm thankful that was us this year.
Talk about getting the monkey off your back with Morningside in the regular season. That's one where, you know, in the regular season, it had been 12 or so games in a row.
Yeah, it had been too many, I can tell you that. But it's one of those where, we try not to make that game bigger than it is. And you know, it's, the game usually means a lot, right? The conference championship's usually on the line. But ultimately we know it's going to be a game that reveals a lot about who we are and what we need to do better. And, you know, those have been really good tests for us in terms of who we are, what we need to do to improve. You know, I think, unfortunately, in 2022, when we lost the opening game of the year, I think on the road by one, maybe, that was big for us and taking steps that we need to end up winning a championship that year. And so those games are good. You know, I think ultimately they prepare you for the postseason. It's a great team. They're going to be well coached. They're going to challenge you in a lot of ways. And that's what we want as we get ready for some big games late in the season.
And obviously you get into the playoffs, and how weird is it? Talked about this with Chris Oliver a couple weeks ago. How weird was it sitting at home with your feet propped up, watching other people play football, knowing that you're still in the playoffs?
Yeah, you know, as someone who's been doing this for a while, it was different, you know, that first round of the playoffs, that bye. Was different. And the hard part was you didn't know who you were going to play. You know, I think we knew we would play one of the teams playing in the opening round, and with how it's based off of geography so much, you know, we could kind of break it down where we thought we might see one of three teams depending on who won. And until we got those matchups, we really had no idea. So that week you couldn't really prepare for a certain opponent, which I think made it a challenge, for a bye in the postseason, not knowing who you could play. If it was bracketed and you knew you were playing one of those two teams, that would help. But that was interesting. It was definitely a change.
I honestly thought that they were going to send y'all Dickinson State just like they have like 17 times in the past. But instead they give you Dort again. So there's that. And you get outgained by 120 yards. And by Jove, you still end up winning by seven.
Yeah, that was one of those games where it's a matchup where, you know, there's not really much advantage. being the home team there, just because we're 10 miles apart. So whenever we play there, they play here. It's really home game, no matter what. You're sleeping in your bed. It's that Thanksgiving weekend where the visiting teams, that is a challenge for the visiting teams because they usually have to travel. They have to travel over Thanksgiving. It's a little bit tougher. We didn't, you know, as the number one team, we didn't get any of those advantages in that matchup. And it was, you know, Dort was ready to play. I think it was, you know, our guys played really well defensively. I thought we executed at a really high rate. It was a physical football game, and our guys found ways to win. And it's one of those games where, you know, I think we were better the next 3 weeks because of that game, which was huge.
Yeah, I mean, just based off that, I was wondering if maybe Jalen wasn't 100%. You go in, you win a tight game against St. Xavier. It's tied at halftime. It's a 3-point game after three. I got to say, y'all had me fooled there for a little bit. I was ready to short sell that, and I did. If you remember, I picked Georgetown.
They didn't want to bring it up, but yeah.
I was wrong. And your defense steps up against Georgetown like crazy hard. Georgetown has, 4.7 yards per play on the day there. It's just a day where you hold Darius Neal to 15 attempts for 28 yards, and when you shut down what they wanted to do running, they really didn't have a variety of weapons other than Darius last year.
Yeah, they were a really good football team, and I thought, you know, we had to make some adjustments defensively to what we were doing at that time of the season, just based on a couple of injuries we had up front. And I thought at that point, when we got to that Georgetown game, our guys were starting to get a good feel for what we were doing schematically. And I think that really helped as they were able to play at a high level going into that game. And our guys played really well. We're able to shut down the run. And we were able to get a lead early, which was huge. Our offense, Connor McQuillan, busted a big run early. And that really just got the momentum going. And, you know, going back the week earlier, St. Xavier was an awesome football team. I thought Coach Feminist had a really good group. We've ran into them a few times, and that was a really talented football team. That group was really good. And that was a battle because they had some really good football players. And I thought that team was much better than where they were ranked as well.
And then we get to Durham, and just kind of going to go through my thought process. I'm looking over at the Kaiser sideline and I'm going, where is Bryce Beasley? Where the crap is Bryce Beasley? And then walk over to coach and go, coach, you got something to tell us about your quarterback? And he went, nope, you know nothing.
Yeah, it was a surprise not seeing him out there. Ultimately, I don't think it really affected the game because they were able to control the line of scrimmage. So we didn't make their other quarterback have to beat us throwing the football. They were awesome football team. You know, Coach Socha, his staff. I think those guys, the way that they played. Obviously, I'd love to go back and start that game over because we started off about the worst way you possibly could. But we dug ourselves a hole, and it was tough to get, tough to climb back out of that. We fought really hard to get it back to a 3-point game in the fourth quarter, and thought we had a really good momentum on our side. And, our squib kick went about 5 yards too far, and they picked it up in the run and housed it, which, kind of squelched all momentum. And we kept fighting after that, but, that was a really good football team, and they deserved to win that game.
It never fails. I'm sitting here, entering the fourth quarter, I'm like, okay, maybe I don't have to send an angry text to the home office this year that, there's no way I can send in an MVP. I have to send that text every year. because it never fails. It's going to be a tight game midway through the fourth quarter. And that's when they want me to put it in. And I'm like, you've got to be joking. There is no way on God's green earth you're going to make me make a decision right now.
Yeah, that game, you know, we were able to, and at halftime, we thought, you know, our goal at halftime was to try to make them uncomfortable in the fourth quarter. We just had to keep fighting and keep clawing. You know, if we could get a turnover or two or just keep getting some stops and then just get things going offensively. And then we were able to do that. We had, you know, a surprise onside kick that Eli Stater recovered. Then we're able to hit McQuillan for a big touchdown down the sidelines. And that really got the momentum going back in our favor. And then unfortunately, you know, they're so good on special teams. They're, you know, they do an outstanding job on special teams. And, you know, you saw that over the last 2 years, having played them and watching them play, they've won so many games on big special teams, whether it's a kick return or a punt return. They've made such big plays on special teams. And unfortunately that they were able to do that again in that fourth quarter, late in that fourth quarter, to kind of put that game out of reach.
Well, let's go to a happier idea, which is who you got coming back for 2024. I won't make you dwell on negatives anymore tonight. So you've got a lot coming back. It's absurd. Nearly all of your offensive skill players are coming back, including, of course, Jalen Gramstad and Connor McQuillan, who, if my math is right, he's got to be a senior next year.
He is, yeah. So he was a freshman 2020, that COVID year. And you know, that year we had quite a few guys who were playing for us right now who were freshmen who played in that first championship game when we lost to Lindsey Wilson. And, yeah, so those guys are now all fifth-year seniors using that COVID year, which, that's nice to have those guys back.
You know, if it makes you feel any better about that 2020 game, their starting quarterback almost won a Grey Cup this year. So, I mean, there is that, you know. But you've also got...
Yeah, good. He is pretty good.
You've got Tanner Shouten coming back. Didn't have him last year due to injury. Austin Gerard is coming back. You are losing Michael Story, who obviously with the Hail Mary catch in 2020 is the guy who sends you to the national championship. Almost 1,500 yards receiving for him. That's absurd.
Yeah, his production will be tough to replace. And Mike was just such a, you know, he made the biggest catches in the biggest games. If you look over his 5-year career, really, Mike was super consistent. But when we needed a big play, it didn't matter with his freshman year through this last year. Mike was there to make that play for us. And so we'll lose that, but I'm really excited about some of our younger guys. Austin Gerard's had a phenomenal spring. He really came on in the postseason for us last year. Getting Tanner back will be big. And then, you know, with Connor at running back, but even a healthy Logan Meyer at running back is big for us as well. Just kind of a two-headed monster back there. And, you know, I feel like up front, we lost two starters up front, but Travis Grover was a starter for us. You know, in the 2022 National Championship game, didn't play last year in his back, and that's just been a big help for us up front as well.
And then defensively, you've got an all-conference first teamer coming back at each level of your defense between Jacob Dragstra on your line, Ben Egley, and in your linebacking core, and Cody Mosier with 10 interceptions, just a beast there in the defensive backfield coming back. You do lose Ben Kingery, but you've got a new old friend coming back at linebacker to have one last run in Orange City.
Yeah, you know, like you said, we feel like we've got some really good players at each level. You know, Jacob Dragster, Tristan Voss, Drake Carter up front. Those guys have a lot of experience for us, and really feel like we can do some good things up front with those guys. And then having Tristan Mulder and Ben Egley back at linebacker is huge. And then we've added Parker Fryer back. And you know, anytime you can add a first-team All-American, Conference Player of the Year back, that definitely helps. You know, Parker is one of the best defensive players I've coached, and just having him back and seeing the things that he can do throughout spring ball, it's fun watching him run around up there in our defense. And then the back end, yeah, Cody Mosier was phenomenal. We moved him from corner to safety last year, led the country in interceptions, really is a ball hawk and a great leader for us back there. Return all four starters in the secondary Three of them will be fifth year seniors, which is nice to have that experience. And then we have Clayton Bosma and Kyler Fritz played a lot as a freshman for us last year, had an interception in the championship game. So defensively, you know, spring's been fun. We've been able to kind of pick up where we left off and really just kind of build on what we're doing defensively. And it's been fun to see that group continue to grow.
And then I don't typically talk special teams because I don't, you know, I don't really, they're kind of hard to analyze sometimes, but got a second teamer in Eli Stater coming back and a first team long snapper. Long snappers do not get enough love in Ty Schaefer coming back.
Right.
Look, man, if you got a guy who can put it in, you know, center mass, you're going to be fine.
You do. Ty Schaefer is the man for us. Ty does everything. Plays receiver. He'll long snap. He'll short snap. He'll run down on every cover unit. He's been a holder before for us. The kid really could do anything. He is a football player. If you look up a football player, you'll see Ty Schaefer. That kid's awesome. He does everything. He's one of those just, you know, tough as nails kids. And then Eli Stater. Eli's phenomenal. I love Eli. Eli's like a folk hero, cult hero around here. He's got a school record for a field goal. Stater the Raider. He's the man. So really glad to have Eli out there. He's a great weapon to have. Last year he punted for us as well. Just does a phenomenal job. And he's very confident. And, yeah, had a huge onside kick for us in the championship game. We found a way to get him a couple, you know, fake attempts last year because he's such a good athlete. We got to find ways to get him the ball.
Yeah, I just – you're talking about the onside kick, and I'm sitting here thinking, you know, the NFL's going to that weird new – kickoff thing. That's going to just completely eliminate that surprise onside kick. That's not going to be any fun.
Yeah, it's going to be interesting watching those games and seeing how that plays out. Everything to change, it takes some getting used to for sure.
Well, Coach, we know one thing for sure, and that is if you're not continuously moving forward, trying to improve yourself, you're going to be moving backwards. Doesn't matter if you're a national champion. Doesn't matter if you're a runner-up. Doesn't matter if you're the worst team in the nation. This is the way of things. So what area of your program, whether it be something on or off the field, are you really looking to focus on in 2024?
Yeah, that's a great question. And I'm really excited about the way our guys have you know, that losing a championship game is tough. And I talked to our guys right away of, you know, you can look at it a couple different ways. You know, I view it as a learning experience, and I view it as, you know, because of that loss, something good will happen. We'll be better because of it. And our guys have really embraced that and have had a really good off season. You know, I think that's really important, just being able to be present as you go through the off season and focus on what needs to be done each day. It's easy to want to skip ahead to next fall or skip ahead to the postseason or, you know, you can't do that. And our guys have really embraced that, just that ability to focus on now and how every moment, every rep, every practice, you know, every player on the team, everyone matters. And we want to make the most of every opportunity that we get. And these guys have done that, and they continue to embrace that. And if they do that and continue to do that consistently well, everything else will take care of itself. And so I'm fortunate to get to work alongside some really good coaches and work with some awesome kids. And, you know, I love the guys that we work with and the work that they put in.
Well, Coach, I know one thing that I've seen over our time covering the NAI is that the GPAC is going to be consistently tough. I mean, Dort's got an absolute metric ton coming back. Steve Ryan swears up, down, and sideways that he's going to have one quarterback next year, and not three. You know, Hastings was actually relatively good last year, had a really great season 2 years ago, was able to keep that pace up last year. Mount Marty has been a team that can catch you off guard. Midland's been inconsistent but good. Now you've added Waldorf to the mix. Dakota Wesleyan last year had a senior laden team, and you know, who knows what if they can have had a good recruiting class, what they can put together. It's And then there's Briarcliff that you've also got to deal with that can bite you if you're not, you know, paying attention. Talk to me about the growth and the trouble trying to avoid the obstacles of the GPAC.
Yeah, I think our league has really improved just the consistency of play from top to bottom. You know, I think week in and week out, like you've mentioned, you have to be prepared to play your best because there's teams that can beat you. Everybody's got really good athletes. You know, if you look at some of the skill players throughout our league, you know, there's great receivers throughout our league. And you have to be ready to play. So you can't take weeks off in the way that you prepare. You can't look ahead. You have to be focused. And I think that's a benefit though for our teams because you have to be tested each week. You got to come ready to play. You can't just go through the motions and take a few weeks off and then have to show up and play again. So I think, like you mentioned, that the league continues to get better. You know, I think we have felt as we've gotten into postseason play that we're better because of the league that we've played in. And you know, I think the look throughout our league, you know, there's been a few coaching changes, but there's really good coaches in our league. The teams are prepared well. And they're fun to compete against. Like, I think our league, in terms of what we have for coaching staffs and the way that they do things, I think they do things the right way.
All right. Give you a magic wand here, and you get to conjure up a 12th team out of somewhere. You've got 11 teams here. Do you try to find that 12th team so that you can get that second auto bid?
Yeah, and it's something we've talked about. And, you know, with the North Star teams, you know, needing a place to go, really, you know, it makes sense football-wise of maybe like a football-only conference like the Mid-States does. You know, not sure that'll happen just with the state school, private school thing.
Yeah.
You know, if you look big picture, you know, Grandview with where they're located, Grandview probably makes sense. That would be an absolute bear to add them to the league as well.
I was about to say, that's who you're going to start with? Bring me Grandview?
But, I mean, it's the closest one. You asked me.
All right.
Yeah, so it's, you know, it's Benedictine's not far away. We could snag them maybe. Trying to think of other teams. It's just with where we're at, though, that's the hard part. Yeah. You know, the Heart's a really strong conference. KCAC is a strong conference in terms of like their membership and what they have. And, you know, some of those have bounced from the Heart to the KCAC. It's just, I think those North Star schools, you know, as we could have a football only conference, that's something that could be feasible for those schools.
Yeah. Maybe relaxing the rules a little bit for football, but I totally get it though. You know, you want it to be that way, you know, and make sure that you have, you know, every school having the same set of Christian principles. So I totally get it. But yeah, it's like, oh man, if you could have added like Dickinson State and Valley City, that would have been primo.
Yeah, it's because you don't want to see those schools, you know, have to leave the NEI or whatever to like Dakota State or Valley City. Mayville right now, it's like, what can we do to help those schools? Because ultimately it helps the entire, you know, the NEI body in terms of what we're doing and what we can put on the field for football and just represent it throughout the whole country. I think that's really, really important. It's just hard with how many transitions, you know, in my time, you know, you've seen USF leave and you've seen schools come and go. And how do you make the entire, you know, NEI as strong as it possibly could? And who knows if the NCAA changes, things could change, you know, the next 5 to 10 years again, it might look completely different.
Yeah. I mean, honestly, with all of the NIL stuff that's going on at the top level, you never know how that's going to trickle down. You know, I feel like you might find some D2s that are just wanting to kind of, and I know the NAI has NIL as well, but you might find a couple guys who are a little sick of the constant transfer portaling and all that stuff going on that might like the benefits of the NAI. Who knows? You can find that 12th team. Listen, I bet there are a couple of teams in the conference, in the GPAC, that would love for either y'all or Morningside to get an auto bid so it frees up an at-large for them.
Right, and with the playoff structure and how it's changed and gone to 20 teams, you know, I think it opens it up. Like this year, getting Dordan as the third team, I think that's huge. I would love to see it get to 24 teams, and I think, you know, I think that just makes sense in terms of top eight teams get a bye. It just cleans it up, and ultimately, you know, that if you had added four more teams this year, you know, you look at like Lindsey Wilson would have been a really good playoff team yet if they would have got in. Ottawa, Arizona would have been a really good playoff team that could have got in. I think you're going to see some really good matchups in that first round, and eventually the right teams are going to be left playing. And I think for our overall brand, that doesn't hurt our brand at all, having 24 teams in the playoffs or more teams competing in the postseason. Hopefully it gets to that at some point. And I think with the Division I, if it breaks away and what those power conferences do, in terms of the money with the NCAA, there may be some trickle-down effect. And the NEI is great football. It's a great brand. We don't have to deal with a lot of the headaches. Like you talked about, the transfer portal, the NIL stuff. It's not just about football or not just about the sport. It's a lot bigger than that. I think NEI is an awesome niche right there.
Yeah, absolutely. And in as much as, you know, I've got my team. I've been a Florida State fan since before I was born. I was at a Florida State game. That's born and raised, dyed in the wool. I honestly like watching NAI football more than I like watching most any other Division I game.
Yeah.
There's more reality to it.
Right. And it's great football, and there's, you know, you look across the board, especially as you get into the postseason, there's some phenomenal athletes at our level, and guys that, you know, could maybe be playing at a different level, but they're choosing to play where they are because maybe it's the type of school they want to go to or, you know, different reasons. But it's really good football, and there's really good coaches too. And it's, you know, it's been fun to just, for me personally, get to know some of the other coaches from competing against them and, you know, running into Coach Oliver, who does a phenomenal job, or Coach Feminist and Coach Stan at Dickinson State. There's a lot of really good coaches out there at our level. And I think, yeah, the NAI football brand is phenomenal.
And, you know, and NAI Made is totally a thing. Look, I am so proud of guys like Andrew Rupchich, who are, he's the backup, you know, guard for the Titans on that right side. That's freaking cool. I'm now, you know, I'm not rooting for injury now. That would be terrible. I'm rooting for the Titans to do so well that they put in their second team O-line, you know.
Right.
And just seeing that, that's awesome. So, you know, I agree. We're gonna start to see a couple of these guys. I mean, you see it with Cam Dukes doing so well in the CFL, with the spring leagues, with the XFL. We're going to have guys that get shots, that get a look in the NFL. It's a great time to be a fan of NAI football.
Yeah, it is. And I think it's going to continue to get better, which is really, really exciting. I think as our, you know, if you see teams adding football, or hopefully this is, you know, it just keeps growing. And I think it's great to see where it's going right now. I think it's on a great path.
Well, Coach, thanks for coming on the show tonight. So excited to watch and see what happens in the GPAC, what happens with Northwestern. It's going to be another great year. So thanks for taking the time out.
Absolutely. Yeah, thanks for having me again.
We hope you enjoyed this episode of the NAIAF Ball Podcast, powered by AdCraft USA. Be sure to contact them for all your custom apparel, merch, and uniform needs. Thanks also to our newest sponsor, Telemetry Sports. If you enjoyed the show, subscribe to the podcast and to our YouTube channel, and leave us a review if you're listening on Apple Podcasts. As always, if you'd like to support what we do, head over to patreon.com/NAIAFball and become a patron. We can't do what we do without our sponsors and listeners like you.